Well, let me take you a few years down the road. What did you begin to do when you weren't playing baseball and basketball and all that? What was your life? What did you do?
After my baseball and basketball career, I joined the Marine Corps. In 1954, me and a friend of mine on that championship 53 basketball team, Alonzo Rogers Jr., we went joined the Marines. I stayed in there for a while, and he stayed in there and made a career of it, Alonzo Rogers Jr. I came out and fell in love and got married. And he stayed 20-some-odd years. He got involved in volleyball. I kept up with him, you know, and communicated with him, and he began to referee volleyball games. He got interested in volleyball, and then after that, he became the head volleyball coach in Washington, a girls' volleyball coach in Washington.
Okay. But and you were married.
I married. I came back and married. I married a schoolmate, Marie Johnson. And we had four children, three boys and a girl. When we were married for a while, I went to work for Phillips Petroleum Company. That's where I really had some rough times as far as being black. Things that happened.
You tried to integrate Phillips 66 service station?
Phillips Petroleum Company at that time didn't hire many blacks. At that time, in 1958, is when I started with him. But my brother first started with him, and I imagine that's why he went and joined the service, because it was kind of rough, and he might not have stood the pressure on him. And he went and joined the Army. My younger brother worked for him before I did. He worked for him in 57, and I worked for him in 58. And I think that what happened, he went on and joined the service to get out of it, and then they hired me in his place. Back in those days, Phillips didn't hire many blacks. Well, I don't know how many black managers they had in their retail outlets. Very few. I would probably be second or third in line for managing one of the retail outlets of theirs.
And which one? Where was it located?
Out here on Highway 20 east of town, there was a Howard Johnson restaurant and a Phillips 66 service station that set over on the Will Rogers Turnpike. And that's where I started out in 1958. I started out as porter, was the lowest man on the totem pole. And that was cleaning the place, keeping things clean, cleaning restrooms and this and that. And in peak times, I did work the driveway some, for the service cars and so forth. And after I worked at porter for that time, they made me driveway salesman. I worked on up. In fact, it took a while for me to make driveway salesman. And I sold more merchandise on that driveway than most of those guys out there that was driveway salesmen. Tires and batteries, I'd go out there and sell a set of tires or something, a two a day, a lot like that. It's just about knowing how to talk to people and how to present yourself. I did that, and then after that, they needed assistant manager. One of the friends of mine say, well, Riley would make a good assistant manager. He said, well, he couldn't handle that. That's what the manager said. They got in a conversation about it, and a friend of mine said, well, why not? He knows everything that the other guys do and other things. So after that, they finally made me assistant manager. And then after assistant manager, they made me manager. So I went from porter, driveway salesman, assistant manager, and manager. And it was a hard fight. There's times that I started to quit.
Why?
Because of the pressure, the things that they did.
What did they do?
The first thing that happened is I started in November. It was November, I never shall forget, November of 58. And all of the stations at that time, they had a Christmas party. And I wasn't invited. They didn't invite me to the Christmas party. It didn't bother me. What we were talking about, just the way of life. And you didn't really realize what was going on until later and later in life. The manager at that time, he didn't tell me that I was not invited. It was one of the employees there that came to me, and he said, Riley, they're having a Christmas party, such and such a date, and this and that. He just told me that I wasn't invited. I just took it right on chin, didn't say anything.
Did they do anything else to you?
That was the first incident of racial injustice that happened. Then, as time went on, every employee had a key to the cash box, you know, made change. People paying for gas and this and that. It wasn't modern. We had a cash box that sat out there, locked in, and everybody had a key. Every employee that waited on people had a key. You didn't have just one key to wait on somebody, because busy times you couldn't do. But everybody had a key. And what happened, you check out every shift. We had three shifts, 7 to 3, 3 to 11, 11 to 7. Each shift checked out. You know, check out this shift to see if there's any shortage, and you check the next shift and leave them even. And they began to have shortage. They employed so many different people that came in there, employees, you know, work 6 months and leave, or 3 months and leave, like that. And you never really knew who that you were hiring. They didn't do background checks. They didn't do drug testing and all that like they do now. But anyhow, the cash box did come up short, and they began to point fingers at me. And that's the way it's always been. In fact, that reminds me of back in the day of slavery, that the black man didn't have a voice, he didn't have a say-so or nothing. And if a white person pointed his finger at a black person, that the black person did that, they ain't take his word for it. You didn't have no say-so. You were just guilty. But all of this shortage began to happen, and I wouldn't take a penny in the world from nobody. Never would, never will. That kind of got next to me when I knew I wasn't doing it. The pressure got really, really bad. In fact, there was one time that I went to go home, and they had put a snake in my car. And they know a lot of people are afraid of snakes, you know, and then I was too. Big black snake, about 6 foot long. Mm. They didn't turn him loose, but they tied it to my stern wheel to where he couldn't get loose. And then when I went in, I seen this big snake wrapped around my eyes, closed the door and run in there. And one of the guys come out there and got it out. Now, I didn't report none of this. I didn't report none of this stuff.
You could have to Phillips people.
Well, maybe I didn't reported or anything to higher up or anything, and I don't know whether they know it today.
Yeah.
But anyhow, as time went on, I had a good friend that worked with me, and his name was Wayne McDaniel. He was a good friend of mine, a Christian fella. We were talking. We call a doghouse. There's a house on the driveway down there where you stay and wait on customers. Well, the station was up a little further, the main station, but we stayed down there in the doghouse, we call it, and wait on customers. And I was talking to him about quitting. He said, "Riley, listen," he said, "you're a good employee." He said, "don't quit." He said, "things are going to get better." He said, "I guarantee you." So he might have had some input in reporting things, but anyhow, I stayed on. And as time went on, things did begin to get better. And in fact, the manager that was there when all of this was going on, they moved him, because they used to move managers around. And then when he left, things really did get better. Things began to break. Things began to open up.
Did you work for Phillips for many years?
I started to work for Phillips in 1958, and I retired in 95. I worked 37 years for him.
Oh, wow. In retail places?
In retail.
In gas stations?
Yeah. In fact, I started out here on the Will Rogers Turnpike, east of town off of Highway 20 on the Turnpike. They had a big Howard Johnson restaurant in Phillips Station there. I worked there for 20-some-odd years. When I first started to work out there on the Turnpike, there was a lot of business down that Turnpike. But after years passed, over there at Catoosa, they opened that up. And they built that 244, I-44 through there, and they began to build truck stops. And all bloomed up over there. And whenever they got all of those established over there and built, then the turnpike traffic for service stations went down. And so after a period of time, I don't remember what year, they closed that station out there on Highway 20 where I first started and moved me up to Vinita, Midway, up there where the big McDonald's. Phillips took over those stations. Conoco did have those, but Phillips took them over. I managed the station on the eastbound lane for 8 years, and then I retired out of there.
Yeah.
I drove back and forth every day, 72 miles round trip.